Hey, baby, I know you've had a hard day. Packing lunches, folding laundry, getting the oil changed in the caravan. Or maybe you've spent 8 hours in the cubicle with that jerk boss looking over your shoulders. Settle down, pour a glass of red, kick your shoes off and forget about your cares, baby. It's time for the Anna and Susanna Show.
Hi, this is Anna Lind Thomas, one half of the Anna and Susanna Show, and our lovely Susanna Lewis will not be joining us today. We actually had some tech issues that couldn't get remedied, and we tried several times to get it going to no avail. And for those of you who were in the Word Up Club and saw that disaster of an attempt of us to go live together, then you pretty much understand what I'm saying. Okay, we had tech issues up the wazoo. All right, it wasn't pretty. So this threw a bit of a wrench in because we had planned something for today's episode. And so now I kind of had to flip the script to go solo. But here's what I know. The unexpected, even the things that seem like disappointments, are often what kicks doors wide open that we all need to walk through. Okay, so I'm open to it and I'm excited about what we're going to talk about today because I just have this sense, I have this feeling that some of you, mostly myself, need to hear this alternative podcast today. Okay, so nestle in, get your earbuds, and let's see if maybe we can get a good word in today. All right, not maybe, we are going to get a good word in. All right, so let's talk about our problems. I know that's not exactly what you were expecting after that powerful intro, okay? About, you know, doors opening wide open. Let's walk through that door and talk about our problems. All right? Okay, but just stay with me. Let's talk about our relationship problems, our health problems, our money problems, our boss problems, our internet speed problems, the shattered screen on our iPhone problems, the trying to check out at the grocery store and your card declines problems, our adult onset acne problems, the underwire that finally poked out of the bra and is now painfully digging into your armpit problems, forgetting to put on deodorant before leaving for work problems, or starting your period when you're out of tampons problems happens to me more than it should happen to an adult. I'll be honest. Our incessant thoughts of cake problems. You guys got those? Okay. That are exasperated by our love of watching cake shows on the Food Network. Is that just me? Our can't reach our goals problems. Never seeing our dreams realized problems. Our hoarding neighbor's ugly backyard. We can see through our fence problems. Okay. We have a lot of problems. Recently, I had the basement of my new beautiful home flood after a drain got clogged with mud. Shed a couple tears on that problem, let me tell you. But then we see the tragedy and suffering that occurs all over the world, and it doesn't necessarily make our problems less painful, but it can make us feel more guilty, right? Let me just say this. God cares about our problems. He cares when we're sad because our jeans won't button, and he cares when we're on day two of not talking to our husband because he still leaves his dirty clothes on the floor. Even though we've begged him for 10 long years to put them in the dirty laundry, and we finally had enough. He cares that we don't feel well, and we can't seem to get off the couch, when we don't have any energy, when we feel depressed, and we don't know why. I don't want anyone to feel guilty about being bothered or consumed by their problems. But what I would love to do in my own life, and what I'd love to help you do as well, is to see your problems differently. To stop being miserable. And for the love of everything with a Krispy Kreme glaze, to stop complaining and to get off the pity party bus. All right? It's a lot like the party bus that you see kids all hooting and hollering in as they go around town, but it's much more pitiful. All right? Pity party bus is just, you don't want to get on it, all right? That's all I got to say. A lot of sad trombone, a lot of Sarah McLachlan music, a lot of solitary tears. It's just, it's not a good time, All right. So let me try to inspire you just a little bit. All right. With some stories. These are real life stories of real life people who ran into some problems. Okay. You guys know this one. Maybe you even saw the movie. All right. On April 26, 2003, Aaron Ralston was hiking alone through Blue John Canyon in western Wayne County, Utah, just south of the Horseshoe Canyon. While he was descending a slot canyon, a suspended boulder became dislodged while he was climbing down from it. The rock smashed his left hand and then crushed his right hand against the canyon wall. Ralston had not informed anyone of his hiking plans, nor did he have any way to call for help. Assuming that he would die without intervention, he spent 5 days slowly sipping his small amount of remaining water and slowly eating his small amount of food, two burritos, which I think is like, who goes hiking with two burritos? Apparently this guy. All while trying to free his arm. So he's eating a burrito, trying to free his arm. All right. He was unable to free his arm from the 800-pound chalk stone. After 3 days of trying to lift and break the boulder, the dehydrated and delirious Ralston prepared to amputate his trapped right arm at a point in the mid-forearm in order to escape. After having experimented with tourniquets and having made exploratory superficial cuts to his forearm, he realized, on the fourth day, that in order to free his arm, he would have to cut through the bones in it, but the tools available to him were insufficient to do so. If you've got the heebie-jeebies right now, you're not alone. Okay? You're not alone. After running out of food and water on the fifth day, Ralston decided to drink his own urine. He carved his name, date of birth, and presumed date of death into the sandstone canyon wall and videotaped his last goodbyes to his family. He did not expect to survive the night. After waking at dawn the following day, he discovered that his arm had begun to decompose due to the lack of circulation. Ralston had an epiphany that he could break his radius and ulna bones using torque against his trapped arm. Still have the heebie-jeebies? I do. What do you mean, using torque against your trapped arm? Radius and ulna bones. Breaking them with torque. Okay. He did so, then amputated his forearm in about 1 hour with his multi-tool, which included a dull 2-inch knife. Let me tell you something. I have a dull 2-inch multi-tool knife, and I can't even open an envelope with that stupid thing. So I can't even freaking imagine. The manufacturer of the tool was never named, but Ralston said it was not a Leatherman, but what you'd get if you bought a $15 flashlight and got a free multi-use tool. I know what he's talking about because I have one. I'm telling you, it can't even open an envelope. After freeing himself, Ralston climbed out of the slot canyon in which he had been trapped, rappelled down a 65-foot sheer wall, then hiked out of the canyon. He was 8 miles from his vehicle and had no phone. However, while hiking out of the canyon, he encountered a family on vacation from the Netherlands, Eric and Monique Meyer, and their son Andy, who gave him food and water and hurried to alert the authorities. Ralston had feared he would bleed to death. He had lost 40 pounds, including 25% of his blood. Rescuers searching for Ralston, alerted by his family that he was missing, had narrowed the search down to canyon lands and flew by in their helicopter. He was rescued 4 hours after amputating his arm. Ralston later said that if he had amputated his arm earlier, he would have bled to death before being found, while if he had not done it, he would have been found dead in the slot canyon days later. He believed he was looking forward to the amputation and the freedom it would give. He looked forward to the amputation and the freedom it would give. Sometimes we look forward to the freaking problem getting solved, no matter how bad it is. You know what I'm saying? His severed hand and forearm were retrieved from under the boulder by park authorities. I think they cremated it. I think he spread his arm's ashes over the boulders. Whatever. All I know is that now the dude still climbs. He's got this gnarly metal hook hand that I think he uses to propel himself down mountains. And so basically he has his own mountain climbing robot hand, and he appears to be super happy. All right? That problem that took a part of his body, and he still has lots and lots of joy and lots and lots and lots of adventure. Here's another story of a woman named Kelly. Kelly survived abandonment, a plane crash, and leukemia, all before she turned 12. As a baby, Kelly was left on the side of the road in Vietnam by her parents. She had a short stay in a local orphanage, and then, in 1975, she was part of Operation Baby Life, a program that evacuated thousands of babies from Vietnam. Kelly was placed on a plane destined for the United States. And then that plane crashed, killing 150 passengers. I really don't know why I was chosen to be one of the survivors. I feel incredibly lucky, and I feel like I've gotten a second chance, Kelly says. Kelly was eventually adopted by a couple in Seattle, but the obstacles did not stop there. At age 11, she was diagnosed with leukemia. With fight and determination, Kelly overcame her disease and went on to become a healthy and successful adult. These obstacles that had happened in my life gave me strength and fueled my motivation to live and to succeed and to go on. Imagine you're abandoned by your family. Okay, no love as an infant. You go to an orphanage. No real connection there at that orphanage. You get on a plane to go be adopted by a loving American family. Your plane crashes. And then you get leukemia. I mean, my goodness, and she survived it all. She survived it all. How about this one? After witnessing the murder of their family members during the Rwandan genocide, sisters Clementine and Claire hid for 100 days and then spent 6 years in refugee camps across America. 100 days. That is a little over 3 full months hiding. I could barely tolerate 2 weeks of my basement not being finished. And then we're talking 3 months of hiding for 100 days. And then they spent 6 years in refugee camps across Africa. 6 years in a refugee camp. They didn't know if their parents were dead or alive, so in 2000, they emigrated to America. After years of searching, an acquaintance told Clementine and Claire that their parents were alive. The family reconnected over the phone, but Clementine and Claire hadn't seen them in person since the genocide began 12 years earlier, and they were later reunited on The Oprah Show. Because you know Oprah. Let me tell you something. The Oprah Show's not on anymore, but I can tell you, people are always act so shocked. But I mean, after a while, don't you just know that Oprah's going to do something? You know, like, well, where's your family now? I don't know. They're behind the curtain! You know what I mean? And then wouldn't it be the worst if you're like, oh my gosh, what if Oprah surprises me with my long lost family member or whatever? And then, you know, she doesn't. And you're like, oh, okay, well, at least I got a nice hotel stay in Chicago. All right. Crazy story though, right? With these two sweet babies survived. It's amazing. Let's talk about Ty. Ty was a Marine who had just proposed to his high school sweetheart, Renee, when he was deployed to Iraq. 5 months later, Renee received the devastating news that Ty and 6 other Marines had been attacked by a suicide bomber. Ty's skull was shattered, his face, head, and arms were burned beyond recognition, and his left hand had to be amputated. Ty had undergone more than 30 surgeries and extensive physical therapy, and Renee never left his side. The couple married in October 2006, and Renee says she never had any intention of leaving Ty. I didn't date him and marry him because of what he looked like, she says. I married him because of who he is. Now, when I read this, I gotta be honest, my husband just told me he wanted to shave his beard. Okay, his beard is something that I love, and I think it makes him very handsome, and he has had it for our entire marriage, and I told him if he did, I'd divorce him. Okay? I was joking a little bit. I mean, I would have cried if he shaved his beard. Okay, so I can't imagine the trauma of having his beloved face burned beyond recognition. And it's stories like this that get to the heart of what really, truly matters to us as human beings. How about this warrior mom, Monica George? During the birth of her second child, Monica contracted a rare and deadly flesh-eating bacteria. Defying the odds, Monica survived, but many of her vital organs did not. The doctors removed Monica's uterus, her ovaries, her gallbladder, and part of her colon that same day. Later, they were forced to amputate both of her arms and legs in order to save her life. I was frightened at first, but when they told me my arms and legs had to be amputated, it was, do it. I've got to go home, Monica said. I thought, I have a life to live and it's not here. And until you amputate, I can't move forward. It's just like Aaron stuck in the cave. It was almost like, get it done. Let's go. Let's move forward. Let's live life. Let's stop dwelling over the fact that I'm going to lose this thing. Let's lose it. Let's face it and let's move on. She learned how to cook, clean, and care for her children without hands and feet. She learned how to survive under incredibly difficult circumstances, thrive even. Tasks that take us minutes to accomplish take her much, much longer, but she gets it done, and it's nothing short of amazing. But here's the deal. She's not stronger, wiser, or better than us. She's human, just like you and me. And if that happened to us, we could do it too, if we just disciplined ourselves to have the right mindset. What about this little dude? When Cody was born, doctors told his parents that he had an incurable disease and wouldn't live past his first day. He survived, but he still had a difficult journey ahead. At just 15 months old, both of Cody's legs were amputated, and by the time he was 18 months, he was fitted for his first prosthetic legs. Cody shocked everyone when it took just days for him to start walking with his prosthetic legs. Here's a dose of perspective. When he was 6, he said, "These are my running legs, and I run very fast in them, and I bounce in them. Since I have different legs, I can do anything." So not only was he not feeling sorry for himself that he didn't have legs, he thought it was freaking amazing that he can just slap on different kinds of legs, and he felt like he could do anything. He wasn't feeling sorry for himself. He wasn't complaining. He didn't think all hope was lost. I'll never be a normal boy. I'll never live a regular life like everybody else. I will always have something. I will never reach my full potential. He didn't say that. He's like, I can do anything because of my amazing legs. How's that for a little perspective? Let's talk about this woman who never gave up on her dream. As a young girl in rural Zimbabwe, Tererai Trent, I'm sure I'm totally butchering that, lived without running water and electricity. Although she was desperate to learn, she only attended 2 terms of school before she was forced to marry at age 11. You guys, I was picking boogers and wearing jellies at 11. I can't even fathom that kind of crap that goes on to our babies, but okay. In 1991, Tererai met a woman from Heifer International and told her what her greatest dream was, to move to America and get her PhD. The woman told her she should write her dreams down, so Tererai wrote them on a piece of paper, placed them in a tin box, and buried them under a rock. By 1998, her dream started to come true. Tererai moved to Oklahoma with her husband and 5 children. Just 3 years later, she earned a bachelor's degree in agricultural education. In 2003, she obtained her master's degree. After every achievement, she returned home to Zimbabwe, unearthed her tin of dreams, and checked off each goal she had accomplished one by one until she finally realized her greatest dream of all, a doctoral degree. Y'all, you better write down your dreams and put them in a tin box in your backyard. Do you hear what I'm saying? Write your dreams down. Tell them to the Lord. Write your dreams down. Pray up to him. Be like, these are my dreams, Lord. They're precious to me. Write them down. Put them in a tin box. Bury them somewhere special to you. Do it. Do it. Do it. Everything I just read to you was from Wikipedia and also Oprah.com. Okay, so reading these problems, these obstacles, these tragedies that these people overcame, it doesn't make our problems meaningless, but it puts them in perspective, right? In fact, when survivors of various harrowing events are interviewed and asked how they were able to survive and thrive against such terrible circumstances, most of them say it could have been worse. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." We have got to stop complaining. For one, other people around us can't stand it, okay? I have a girlfriend that almost got fired from a job she hated because she couldn't stop complaining. All right? She could not stop complaining about how much she hated her job to her coworkers. They didn't want to freaking hear that noise day in and day out. It made them miserable too. Not only can those around us not stand all of that complaining, I mean, it just drives everybody crazy, it can also affect their brain. Research has shown that negativity is contagious like a cold. Not surprising. Just read a bunch of New York Times articles and then surf the comments, right? Research has even shown that even small amounts of negativity can weaken our immune system. Negative attitudes have been shown to inhibit our intelligence and our ability to think clearly. Another study, which I found greatly disturbing, showed that being married to a negative person actually physically changes our brains. So, like, not only do I gotta worry about keeping my own brain positive, but I gotta worry about my husband too. I honestly tell him this all the time. If he starts to complain too much, I'm like, "You're changing my brain. You're changing my brain." He gets really annoyed, but it shuts him up. But here's the saddest part, okay? In an article from a psychologist in Psychology Today, it reads, "For chronic complainers, each situation becomes an opportunity to find fault. Eventually, this drains life of pleasure. Chronic complaining can also affect mood by producing a negative mood state. Thus, the chronic complainer falls into a perpetual cycle of finding fault, feeling negative, and then being unable to face the next situation with an open mind. Eventually, the capacity for feeling joy is compromised." And this is where we can get lost in a perpetual state of depression. Now, I have to make this clear. There are absolutely cases where people suffer clinical depression and also hormonal depression like postpartum, okay? It can be triggered by trauma or simply be a genetic makeup of one's brain or the result of hormones. However, that's not always the case. While doing research for my master's degree, I came across a study that found for major depression medication brands, the placebo pills actually worked better in relieving the participants' depression than the actual medication, except for those individuals who were severely depressed. For instance, people who couldn't get out of bed physically or function properly, they actually did see an improvement with the medication. But for everybody else, the sugar pill worked better than the actual medication. Our mind begs for joy, my friends. And for many of us, if it has to find hope in a sugar pill, it will. Now, I'm not going to be careless and suggest anyone taking medication to get off of it. I merely illustrate these studies to make a point that our minds are powerful and we have a responsibility to protect them the best we can. And the most effective thing we can do right now is guard it from our own self-defeating, negative, complainy, self-pity thoughts. A lot of research suggests that when we are perpetually negative, we develop a habit towards negativity and hopelessness that creates this habit in our brain, and that can develop into a cycle of depressive feelings. Now, like I said, depression is complicated and nuanced and depends on a myriad of factors from genetic to circumstantial to cultural to societal, and this isn't meant to make anyone feel guilty who is currently suffering. All I'm saying is this. The very least we can do for ourselves and for those around us is to try to develop more positive mental habits and, for the love of it all, to stop complaining. Instead of being hopeless and giving up, continue to get up and search for ways to find solutions to our problems instead of being so defeated we won't even face the problem in the first place. So, if you've been a listener for a while, then you likely know that my basement flooded to my new house. I talked about it earlier in the podcast. This happened right as I made a decision to start seriously studying joy. Isn't that just so coincidental? Okay. At first, it flooded through a door because a drain outside the door was clogged. Since this was considered flooding from an outside source and we weren't in a flood zone, our insurance wouldn't cover it. We're talking nearly $10,000 in damages. I honestly remember saying, God, I don't know how you're going to pay for this bill. And I just walked away. I was like, I don't know how you're going to pay for it. It'd be fun to find out. I mean, honestly, what else could I do? ServPro, the company that cleans up flood damage, they couldn't come out for 3 days because we had just experienced a lot of heavy rains. And so a lot of people had some flooding issues. And I, you know, honestly, I think I actually did cry a bit that evening because I love my home. I love my finished basement and we used it every single day as our main family room. And so, yeah, I mourned a lot. But I refused to panic, and I was thankful we had plenty of room upstairs. I even said things like, hey, we'll be way less tempted to watch TV without a TV room. I'll be honest. Lucy watched a lot of Netflix on the iPad sometimes. Okay, I'm a woman. I'm made of flesh and blood. I'm not perfect. Sometimes the girl needs to watch a cartoon on my iPad. Okay, I'm not perfect. All right. So, you guys with me? The house floods. We just bought it. We haven't even gotten our first mortgage bill yet. It floods. $10,000 damage. Insurance won't pay for it. Okay? Letting God know, hey, you got a bill coming your way. Not sure how you're going to pay it, but be looking forward to how you do. The very next day, the gutter cleaner we had hired a few days prior came out to clean the gutters. He used a spigot on the side of the house I frankly didn't even know existed. He somehow broke the spigot. Or maybe it was already broken, who knows, but the guy turned the knob off and walked away as the water continued to pour out even in the off position. The spigot ran for hours without us knowing, and our basement flooded again. But this time, the flood was from a broken pipe. Could this get covered by insurance? Our insurance agent came out with his manager the next day. They checked things out and then happily told us they would cover the damage. Susanna even made the joke that it was the angel Gabriel who broke the spigot. And I love that visual. And I like to think so too. Even so, it has taken weeks to get our basement back, which is essentially 50% of our usable space in our house. I couldn't find the same floors the previous owner had used, so I called a family friend who is an incredible home designer. She recommended a flooring that was not only way cheaper, but it looks and functions 10 times better. So I'm actually making money on this, you guys, okay? This terrible, horrible thing that happened to me, I didn't let it take my joy, and guess what? Good things are happening, all right? The floors are this incredible gray driftwood flooring, all right? And it has literally transformed my basement into a space that I find so much more attractive I could cry. It makes the basement brighter and lighter and so much more inspiring. So yes, there was a lot to complain about, and I could have. And I could have been miserable and angry and filled with self-pity. But guys, I had just made it my mission to not let anything steal my joy. So I worked really hard at it. And let me tell you, there were moments it wasn't easy, okay? Especially when my period came. All right? That girl don't play. She might have had some attitude a few times, okay? She's not perfect. But overall, I didn't lose my joy. And I'm so glad I didn't, because in the end, not only did we save an incredible amount of money we were able to use towards other things, but my finished basement is actually better than ever. So, don't suffer needlessly by complaining and self-pity, please. And don't make the people around you miserable either. People want hope. They want to be encouraged. They want joy in their lives. They don't want bleak, miserable, moody. Okay? And yes, life can be so hard and so stressful. It's okay to vent. In fact, proper venting can be beneficial. But what I do is I usually ask someone's permission. So I'll say something like, something is really weighing on my mind. Is it okay if I take a second to vent to you? If you do it with someone you trust, then you can get it off your chest, let your mind release it, and then talk it through with someone to come up with solutions. Better yet, sometimes just venting about it miraculously makes the negative feelings go away altogether, okay? Now, here's the other thing we get hung up on. Feeling guilty about being miserable about our first world problems. All right? With so much suffering in the world, why would God even care that my car needs a new belt and it's going to take the money I put away for a vacation I was looking forward to? Huh? Why would he care about that? Well, one, he does because he loves us and he cares about us. But more specifically, he cares about our hearts, our spiritual maturity, and our faith. He cares about our relationship and our dependence and our love for him. So give that problem over to him. Lift your sadness up to the altar. Just don't dwell on it. Don't say lies like, well, bad things always happen to me. Ever got your hand crushed under a boulder and had to cut it off with a dull, cheap knife? No? Then bad things don't always happen to you. You just feel that way because you can't get out of your own head and see the beauty that's still around you. Don't feel guilty. Just try and do better. None of us can change the world from its suffering. Things happen that aren't even fathomable sometimes. But if we want to clean up the world, the absolute most necessary place to start is our own home. Less complaining and negativity, more peace and hope and positivity. More faith in God's goodness and less drama, self-pity, and careless mood swings. I love that Mother Teresa quote, and I'll keep saying it. If you want to change the world, go home and love your family. I remember a couple years ago, a woman wrote an article that said she doesn't care what her young son, she didn't care, basically her son cussed like a sailor. All right, back to square one, a little tongue tied. Read an article, all right? The woman's young son, I think he was 5, cussed like he was in the freaking Marines. Okay, like a sailor, as they say, all right? And she said that she didn't care because it's just words and only his behavior matters. I disagreed. Maya Angelou once said, "Words are things. You must be careful. Careful about calling people out of their names, using racial pejoratives and sexual pejoratives and all that ignorance. Don't do that. Someday we'll be able to measure the power of words. I think they are things. They get on the walls. They get in your wallpaper. They get in your rugs and your upholstery and your clothes and finally into you. Just as it says in Ephesians, use your words to lift people up, including yourself. Use your words as a tool to get back to your joy. Use your words as that thing you use to encourage, uplift, love, and spread kindness, especially to yourself. When you hit a difficult time in your life, think of all the people who have suffered immeasurably and turn their trauma and tragedy into triumph. If they can overcome that, you can overcome whatever you're faced with too. They aren't better than you. They aren't stronger than you. They aren't smarter. They aren't faster. They are simply a human who made a choice to pick joy over despair. So check yourself, sister. Cut that complaining down. Have your friends or your spouse keep you accountable. For every complaint that comes out of your mouth, put a dollar in a jar and see how fast you learn your lesson so you don't go broke. Turn your desire to complain into a desire to improve your life, to be creative, or to simply rest in God's arms while He figures it out. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have dishes piled up in my sink about a mile high, and if I can be honest, I'd rather stiff my husband's socks after he mows the lawn on a muggy summer day than do them. But then I think about Monica George. Remember that mom who lost her arms and legs to a flesh-eating bacteria? I think about her zipping around her kitchen, opening her cabinets without hands, and caring for her children, making them lunch with a smile on her face. Happy to be alive. So I'll go do them, and maybe I'll put on some earbuds and listen to my favorite audiobooks. Maybe, just maybe, I'll have a good time. But I know this, I'm not going to complain, and I'm not going to lose my joy. A few dirty dishes ain't worth it. It's not worth it. All right? That is it for me today. Guys, listen. This conversation is going to keep going over in the Word Up Club. It's a club that Susanna and I started where we provide daily devotions we've written. And we also go live for a meetup once a week. It's a wonderful place to spiritually grow, make friends, lift each other up, to love and support each other. If you'd like to join, we hope you would. Go to annaandsusannashow.com/join to learn more. Okay? Okay. Well, this is the part of the podcast where I say, until next time, goodbye.